This hurricane of apostasy is blowing stronger and stronger every day, but it's been around for a long time. The hurricane didn't start in the 80s when I noticed pastors going to church light. You know, heavy on media and light on word. Heavy on entertaining, light on truth. It's old. In fact, a century ago, things were so bad, 100 years ago in America, that the visible church and the followers of Christ, 100 years ago, there were so many profusions of cults. I mean, the Mormons were just taken over, and the Jehovah's Witnesses were just marching from the watchtower, and there was theosophy and Christian Science and all of these cults and prophets. I mean, we don't even think about that. It was so bad 100 years ago that the greatest Bible teachers of the day in that generation banded together and said, we're going to raise a flag of truth. We're going to define truth for the church because so many people are falling away. And so this group of conservative Bible-believing and teaching pastors and professors sat down over a six-year period and wrote down on paper and published the non-negotiables of faith. And what they did is they published these over 6 years from 1909 to 1915 as position papers on what they called the fundamentals of the faith. And they titled their seven-volume work, The Fundamentals. Have you ever heard of fundamentalists? That's where it comes from 100 years ago. From this galaxy of Bible-teaching, Bible professors and doctrine extraordinaires who defined Christianity and called it The Fundamentals of Christianity. At the end of days, truth is under attack. Jesus says, watch out for false teachers and counterfeit religion. So when they were faced with this profusion of false teachers, the true defense of Orthodox doctrine was written down. Now, let me just read to you who they called on. They called on R.A. Torrey. You say, who's that? You ever heard of D.L. Moody, the evangelist from Chicago? This was his assistant that traveled with him. And R.A. Torrey was more of the Bible teacher, and Moody was the evangelist. And R.A. Torrey founded the Bible Institute of Los Angeles. It's called BIOLA today. That's what it stands for, Bible Institute of Los Angeles, BIOLA. But they called on Torrey, then B.B. Warfield from Westminster Seminary, and J.C. Ryle. He was a very well-known pastor and devotional writer. And then G. Campbell Morgan. It's kind of like the John Piper, John MacArthur of the day. He was an expository, verse-by-verse pastor. And then C.I. Schofield. He wrote a study Bible, kind of like the Ryrie study Bible. And then James M. Gray, the president of Moody Bible Institute. And then A.T. Pearson. He was kind of like the Chuck Swindoll of the day. And they called together this group of men, and these men wrote down and distilled down Christian doctrine to seven key doctrines. This is what they said. They called them the fundamentals, seven essential doctrines. I'll just read them to you. I have 9 minutes to read them to you. Here they are. Number one, inspiration. All we know and believe about the Bible is based on God's word, so they affirm the inspiration and reliable historicity of the Bible. And their key verse was 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Secondly, they said doctrine. Now, this is 100 years ago. Doctrine must be held. God's word teaches that clear doctrine must be taught to Jesus Christ and his church. So they specifically named the cults of 100 years ago who presented false doctrine in their day. And they named them as the Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, Christian Science, Spiritism, and Theosophy. And they said they are wrong in their doctrine. So they said, there's an ancient landmark, don't move it. I mean, do you hear that nowadays? That Mormonism is wrong? Are you kidding? If we're going to have a men's gathering, we've got to have the Mormons. They're moral. They're pro-life, pro-family. Don't leave them out, right? Doctrine divides. Haven't you ever heard that? Doctrine divides. It sure does. It divides the truth lovers from the lost. That's what it divides. Then depravity. That's the third doctrine they emphasize. God's word declares the reality of sin, and they affirm man is not basically good, but born a sinner. That was all at the beginning of this idea at the end of World War I that if you just cleaned up the environment in the inner cities that everybody would get happy and nice to each other. The real cancer is in the soul. It's not in the slums. And so they affirm depravity. As it says in Romans 5:12, through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin and death spread to all men because all have sinned. And then they had a two-part. This one was the most amazing one of all. Right in the center of their fundamentals, they had two parts. Substitution. God's word presents biblical salvation as received only by faith in the God incarnate Christ who became our substitute. We call that the substitutionary atonement, that Jesus took our place on the cross. The verse is 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Christ who knew no sin to be sin for us. So Jesus became our substitute. He became our sin on the cross. But the second half of that is imputation. That's one you don't hear about anymore. This is what they said. The second half of 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that we might become the righteousness of God in him, that we are imputed Christ's righteousness. We don't earn it. We don't receive doses of it. It's given to us by faith through Christ. And what they said this, God's word teaches about imputation that salvation cannot be earned at any level. Salvation is dispensed by God and not by any church nor any clergy. Thus, they clearly expose the errors of Roman Catholicism and every other religion of human achievement and works righteousness. I mean, you could never say that nowadays. Mission boards all over the world say, you can't leave out the Catholics. I mean, they're with us. With what? If you have the gospel wrong, what are you with? How can you do missions if the gospel's wrong? And they don't believe in imputation. They believe in diffusion. They believe that you get a little dose at confirmation, and that gets you one step on Monopoly board toward heaven. And then you come to confession, you get another dose, and then you do penance, and you get another dose, and you go to the Mass, and you get a big dose. And it's being saved by installments, not saved by grace once and for all. Then Christology. They affirm the deity, the work, and personal visible return of Christ. Here's a great verse, 2 John 1, 9 through 11. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. So if you don't have the doctrine of Christ right, you don't have God. And you know what they said? What 2 John says. Whoever abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And if anybody comes to you and doesn't bring the doctrine of Christ, don't receive him into your house. You know what that means when the Jehovah's Witnesses come at my door and they have their big case, you know, that looks like a sewing machine they're carrying, usually a couple or three of them. Or the Mormons come with their white shirt, you know, and sporty and young and their little name tag, and they knock and they're smiley. You know, every one of my neighbors know what we believe because we've shared the gospel with them. And we let the smiley white shirts in, they'll think, oh, they're probably from Calvary. I bet they are. If they come to buy a house, I'll talk to them too. That's why, you know what the Lord says? Don't even let them into your house. Don't greet them. For he who greets them shares in their evil deeds. Don't confuse people about the doctrine of Christ, no matter how they smile or how white their shirt is. Finally, the last one, the seventh doctrine, amazingly, that they affirmed in 1909, was the doctrine of creation. And they said that God is revealed from cover to cover in his word as the creator of the universe. He created it just as he described it in the Bible. And so we expose, they said, the grave errors of evolutionism and Darwinism. Boy, are they out of step. The last 100 years, by and large, Christianity has embraced, not exposed. And they use Colossians 1:15-17.